trying to get Palestinians, civilians, out of harm's way. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Israel's prime minister says they're working on evacuations ahead of their next offensive in Gaza in the city of Rafah, where more than a million civilians are sheltering.
Hamas will be doing everything in their power to make sure that we don't evacuate the civilians because they actually try to stop them at gunpoint.
He also tells Fox a Palestinian government reorganization underway today is musical chairs.
They have to stop teaching and indoctrinating a whole generation on the annihilation of Israel. That's real reform.
A U.S. Air Force member has died. That after setting himself on fire outside Israel's embassy in Washington, protesting what he called genocide in Gaza, Aaron Bushnell even shouted Free Palestine as he was engulfed in flames, live streaming it all online. Now an update on the Russian opposition leader who died in prison a week and a half ago. Fox's Jonathan Savage reports.
Maria Pevchik is the chair of Alexei Navalny's Anti-Corruption Foundation. In a video on his YouTube channel, she claims a prisoner swap deal was in its final stages, but Russian President Vladimir Putin simply couldn't take it. She says Navalny was killed, something the Kremlin denies.
In what's now a 30-year war in Ukraine, Russian forces have taken over another village near the city of Avdiivka. Ukrainian troops also had to give that up earlier this month. A change for the Republican Party. Ronna McDaniel will step down March 8th as National Committee Chair.
While Donald Trump helped elevate McDaniel to her role 7 years ago, he has since soured on her performance and what some see as the RNC's lackluster fundraising efforts. Recently, Trump made it crystal clear he's ready to see changes at the RNC.
Fox's Mark Meredith. The next Republican primary is tomorrow in Michigan, days after former President Trump beat Nikki Haley by 20 points in South Carolina. The Supreme Court is about to hear a social media case as industry groups challenge laws in Florida and Texas aiming to stop social media companies from censoring or removing content. They say that violates their First Amendment rights. America's listening to Fox News.
The Fed is setting a digital dollar control trap. The new FedNow system might sound modern and convenient, but the truth is, it's all about surveillance and control. Don't be fooled. Secure your assets right now with something Washington cannot manipulate. Hi, Stephen K. Bannon, former advisor to Donald Trump. And in these times of uncertainty, I believe the best way to defend your savings is to use tangible assets, which is why I recommend a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. Because gold has a 5,000-year track record as the ultimate guardian of wealth. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs from Birch Gold Group by texting the word PROTECT to 989898. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust, so text PROTECT to the number 989898. Text PROTECT to 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs. There's no obligation or purchase required.
Message and data rates may apply.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
I'm William Shatner, and I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom, and when they come home.
I had just come home from serving over in Germany. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed for the rest of my life.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America, because they've kept their promise to never leave a fallen soldier behind. A roof over their heads, accessible homes, cars, jobs, benefits.
PVA has brought me back to life.
Show them their sacrifice hasn't been in vain.
Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Parenting is hard. Technology can make it harder. The Family Media Plan developed by the American Academy of Pediatrics helps make it easier. Go to healthychildren.org/media plan to create the media plan that's right for your family. Whether you make a full plan or just choose a few parts that matter the most to your family, healthychildren.org/media plan is an easy-to-use tool that will help your family set media priorities and create healthy digital habits in line with your family's values. You'll also get practical tips to help make the plan work. And you can come back to revise your plan as often as you need to, like at the beginning of each school year or during summer and holiday breaks. Raising kids in the age of screens is easier when you have a plan. Go to healthychildren.org/media plan and make your plan today.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome to another edition of Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner in studio here with Adam Hanson and Thomas Sparks. And across the desk running the boards is Cody Beeson. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning.
So we got a couple interesting topics to talk about. One is taxes. We got racism. What else do you guys want to talk about? Transgender and sports? No, just kidding. We're not going to hit that one today. So I want to talk about taxes right off the bat. There's a lot of discussion about whether or not taxing the rich more is going to bring in more money into the coffers. They can afford it, and so they can help provide the government programs that, the poor or marginalized need. So I want to play a clip to start this out. It's from John Stossel. This guy was amazing on 2020, like 30 years ago. I don't know, amazing. I watched him as a kid, and I thought he was a great reporter. He's amazing now, and because he's independent and he's really pointing out a lot of the flaws in the mainstream media and where the biases are. Thomas pointed out last program that he was actually biased in pointing out their biases, but we won't get into that.
Yeah, we all are a little bit.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm biased, but I admit that I'm biased, and every single one of us is biased. If you say that you're neutral and you're unbiased, then you are either misleading yourself unintentionally or you're intentionally misleading others. So here we go. I'm biased. I think that taxes are, for the most part, bad, for the most part, because I think the government is so bloated and inflated and does such a bad job managing money that we shouldn't continue funding essentially what I think is a failed program. The government's there for a very limited purpose, and that's to protect our God-given inalienable rights to life, liberty, and property, or the pursuit of happiness, which has to be done by controlling property and using it and making it better for the benefit of ourselves and others so we can actually have life and liberty. So let's get on with the tax portion of this. Cody, can you cue up that clip from John Stossel?
Yeah.
Have to start paying their fair share in taxes.
Their fair share? Are you paying your fair share? What would that be?
Do you have a specific on the tax rate?
You know, you look at our tax rates back in the 60s.
When 60 Minutes, the darling of the progressive movement, didn't appear to have a specific rate in mind. But then she said...
Sometimes you see tax rates as high as 60 or 70%.
Suddenly, that became the progressive plan.
I can support folks at the top paying their fair share.
70%, 80%, we've had it as high as 90%.
90% was the top tax rate when I was a kid. And now Democrats say if we just raise taxes on the wealthy, government will have plenty of money to pay for all their wonderful programs. But it's a myth. What progressives don't say is that...
No one actually paid anywhere close to those rates.
No one?
No one.
Economic historian Phil Magnus says it's not surprising that progressives don't know that 90% tax rates didn't bring in lots of money.
You know, who has the time and the interest to sit around and dig through that line by line?
You.
Me. I'm apparently the guy.
He's researched old tax codes for over a decade.
You must be a really boring guy. I can be.
During World War II, America's 90% tax bracket didn't bring in that much more money because rich people found loopholes. And then because the high rates discouraged work, President Kennedy backed a bill that lowered the top rate to 70%.
The billions of dollars this bill will place in the hands of the consumer and our businessmen will have both immediate and permanent benefits to our economy.
But it turned out that the 70% rate wasn't very real either. No one paid 70%, let alone 90%. What did they pay?
A millionaire, on average, would pay 41%.
Because when taxes are high, rich people find loopholes.
There's all these deductions and exemptions and carve-outs that are intentionally baked into the tax code.
Newspapers ran ads. Cruise for free. $2,499 value.
And basically take a vacation around the Caribbean. But while you're on board the ship, you attend, say, an investing seminar or a real estate seminar, and then write off the trip.
The whole trip.
The whole trip.
Deductions became so complex that rich people, instead of inventing, say, a precursor to the iPhone, hired accountants to study the tax code.
Who can afford the best accountants? It's always the wealthy.
Today, the top tax rate is 37%. The top rate started dropping again after Ronald Reagan said 70% was outrageous.
Our tax system could only be described as un-American.
And the Democrats actually agree with them. Reagan goes to the table and says, let's make a deal. We can cut the rates down to something closer in approximation to what we have today. And in exchange, we'll consolidate the tax code.
Vacation deductions and other exemptions were killed, leading to a slightly simpler tax code. And surprise, the lower rates brought in just as much money. Turns out that tax revenue as a percentage of the economy stays about the same, no matter what the top tax rate is. When rates are high, rich people sometimes work less.
It's just economics. People don't work to pay taxes.
Economist Art Laffer told President Reagan, rich people will evade high taxes.
They'll change where they earn their income. They'll change how they earn their income. They'll change how much they earn, when they receive the income. They'll change all of those things to minimize taxes.
They will leave the United States.
And this not yet president pointed out that if taxes go up, rich people may move away. You haven't left.
I haven't left yet.
Are you going to leave?
Big story if I leave, I guess. If I leave New York, that's a big story. Look, the rich people are going to leave, and other people are going to leave. You're going to end up with lots of people that don't produce, and then that's the spiral. That's the end.
And that's what's happened, and there's some European examples. So France attempted a massive tax on its wealthiest earners, and what they found is the business people left in a mass exodus from the country.
But progressives are selective when they look at history.
Under Republican administration, Dwight Eisenhower, we had 90% marginal tax rate.
The government will collect more and do good things.
Well, that's the claim, but you're asking for an economic disaster. So I ask the question, do we leave it in the private sector where the market decides, or do we subject it to corrupt politicians?
I say, let the market decide. Of course, when the market decides, some people get really rich. And then progressives say,
the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
But that's not true. The poor don't get poor. That's another economic myth.
What do you think about that, Adam?
I like John Stossel. He does a good job of
But what do you think about
inflaming things?
Tax brackets and higher tax brackets, the more you make, the more you pay.
We've talked about this before, you and I personally, and then on this show, I'm more of a flat tax guy.
Really?
Yeah, and no, well, yeah, the percentage, right? You're going to pay, everybody pays a percentage. It's just like you and I go to the same church and we pay 10% of our income to the church through a tithe, and that seems to work pretty good. You know, it's pretty simple. The pauper pays the same amount as the billionaire, and it's just according to
proportionally,
yeah. And I think that's fine.
And gets the same benefits, but not proportionately. For example, all of the benefits that come through attending the nice church buildings and having the facilities, having the plumbing and the electricity, all that paid for. The pauper gets just as much benefit from that as the billionaire, even though they've contributed a different amount of money because they both contributed the same percentage of what they could. Tom, what's your take on that? Thomas?
Yeah, I think that's fundamentally fair to give people the exact same percentage. People paying their fair share when their percentage is different, I think is unfair. You know, I shouldn't be punished and pay more proportionally than somebody else just because I'm a bigger producer.
What about the disincentive to work or to even do business in the United States when you're very wealthy? If you're going to be taxed so significantly, then you might as well either do less business in the United States or take your business outside of the United States. So you could just vacation more and not be productive here, or you could continue to be productive but just go somewhere else. What do you think about that, Cody?
Oh, we've seen that. We've seen in big corporations like Burger King sets up, you know, their headquarters in Ireland or Scotland, wherever it was, to evade paying, you know, U.S. taxes. Yeah, we see that all around. And if it was a flat tax that we're talking about, all these loopholes would be gone, you know, and then people would be on a fair playing field.
So I've got a couple of entities, you know, with the law firm that we work through, and one has to do with the brokerage that Adam and I participate in. So we have realtors that work within the law firm that help our clients sell real estate when somebody passes away to consolidate their assets and distribute it to their children. So we've got the brokerage. That's one entity. We've got the entity that owns the building. We've got the entity that owns the law firm. And so that's how it goes. And when I'm doing my taxes, I hire three different people to help me do my taxes. I've got a full-time accountant. I've got a bookkeeper that helps keep me – the accountant obviously – puts all the numbers in and applies the tax code. The bookkeeper keeps track of all of the receipts and actual spending and buying that I do. And then I've got an assistant here at the firm that helps me provide the information to the bookkeeper. I pay all those individuals for the purpose of keeping track of taxes mainly, because I keep track of the business finances. I can do that just fine. But it's the tax portion of it that gets so darn confusing. And so now tax season is upon us, and I sat down for the better half of all yesterday working with those individuals to figure out how to actually file my taxes. I had 1099-Bs, and I had 1099 miscellaneouses, and I had 1099s that I had to submit to somebody else, and I had W-2s and employer contributions that I had to figure out as well. And all of these, I mean, I've got a law degree, and I also am a licensed financial advisor, and I was struggling to understand what was actually being asked of me and where to look for it. I think that's one of the major disservices of the tax code, is it's so darn complicated that most of us can't understand it, and so we're guessing at it, and then the IRS, you know, has to go and do an audit to determine whether or not you're filing your taxes appropriately. So there's a whole bunch of government funds being spent on that. All of that could be eliminated if it was just a flat amount, if it was a flat tax, the time that we could save. And we've demonstrated that from our business model, you know, Adam, because we charge flat fees. And so how much time do you think that's saved, as opposed to traditional billing that attorneys do, where they charge every 6 minutes or a tenth of an hour?
Well, it saves a ton of time. And I find that the clients really love that. They know coming into our services what we're going to charge, and they don't have to worry about nickeling, diming, and keeping track of time and phone calls and emails and things like that. And so it makes it really simple, and everybody loves simple. And it's just a simple thing.
What do you think that does to our efficiency and our ability to actually produce something that people can benefit them with the use of our time?
It allows us to focus more of our time on the material issue at hand. So we're not worrying about how much time I spent on the phone with this individual or how much time I spent reading these emails and emailing back. I don't need to worry about that. I can just worry about getting the project done and putting my best foot forward.
We have to take a break. We're going to come back here and talk a little bit about whether or not the rich are actually paying their fair share. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The storm sitting along the California coast eventually makes its way through the southwest. We may get a raindrop or two midweek, but that's it for wet weather. In fact, later in the week, more sunshine and more warmth. A mild day today, cloudy and 78. Tomorrow, sunny breezy, 77. One or two showers early Wednesday. Still sunny, though, 77 Wednesday. Thursday is when the temperatures warm up near 80. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help Heal Veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Williams, and I want to share with you the role that diabetes has had in my family. I lost my grandmother at the early age of 64 due to complications with diabetes. She was warm, generous, and a constant encouragement for me to follow my heart. Did you know that African Americans experience chronic kidney disease at a rate that's 25% higher than white Americans? And we're almost four times more likely to develop kidney failure. Diabetes and high blood pressure are leading causes of kidney disease, which can result in kidney failure, needing dialysis, or a kidney transplant. The good news is that you have the power to check out how well your kidneys are doing and learn ways to prevent them from failing. So go to your doctor and get yourself checked out. Visit linkbylovetv.org to learn more. Get the facts, get checked, and get healthy.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
After spending years in foster care, Lexi worried that she and her brother were too old to be adopted. Thankfully, the siblings were adopted, with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I love teenagers. To see how brave Lexi was and how she opened herself up to being in a family, all of a sudden, she's holding my hand and calling me Mom. It was really special.
Every child, no matter their age, deserves to grow up in a safe, permanent home.
Children at every age experience challenges. Teenagers are more complex than young children, but in the best ways.
You're never too old for family. Learn how you can help children still waiting to be adopted from foster care at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
It's almost time for Arizona voters to pick their candidate for president. The presidential preference election is on March 19th, and if you want to vote by mail, make sure you are on the active early voting list or request a one-time ballot by mail. Elections are independently managed by each Arizona county, so reach out to your county recorder's office before March 15th if you want a ballot by mail. Get more election details at arizona.vote. This message is sponsored by the Arizona Secretary of State's office.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. We just listened to a clip from John Stossel. If you want to listen to that again, you can go to YouTube, just search John Stossel and taxes, and that'll come up. It's a five-minute clip. Dinesh D'Souza is another person that I want to listen to about taxation. he was a really prominent voice in the podcast, especially independent media. And he's put out a lot of movies about politics. And in fact, he was targeted for some of the movies that he put out. He put out one about Obama's America. And after that, he was prosecuted for a crime that has never, ever been prosecuted. Where have we heard that before, right? You know, what's going on with Trump and this Confederate era crime that he's being prosecuted for with essentially treason. And what is the actual charge that he's being prosecuted for? It's insurrection. Yeah, he's being charged with insurrection, which was instituted during the Civil War era so that Confederate generals couldn't sneak back into the government and try to separate us again by getting elected to office. So anyway, Dinesh D'Souza, he got prosecuted for that, spent over a year in prison under the Obama administration for, you know, calling out all the things that Obama did. And here he is. I don't know. He's lost favor with even the right stream media that's left over. You know, the mainstream media on the right, Fox News, for example, has kind of just abandoned him. Even like the Daily Wire has, for the most part, abandoned him. And that all came out after he pointed out what may have happened during the election of 2020 and 2000 Mules in his movie. So it's really discouraging to see that we're not even giving him as big a platform as he had before, because he's a brilliant person, and he has a great analysis on taxes right now that I'm going to share with you.
The IRS has some new data. The data is from 2021, pretty normal. The data is computed with a lag of a couple of years. And in 2021, it turns out, the top 1% of taxpayers, now that turns out to be 1.5 million people. So that's pretty interesting to know that there are about 1.5 million people, and this is families, I guess, in the country that fall into that top 1% of taxpayers. And these taxpayers paid a record high 45.8% of all federal income taxes. They're not talking about the percentage that people pay. In fact, the highest marginal tax rate in the country is something like 37 or 39%. It's in the high 30s anyway. What they're saying is of all the tax revenues collected by the federal government, 45.8%, almost 46% is paid by the top 1%. So the top 1% pays 45 to 46% of all federal taxes. Now, that makes the interesting question of what does the bottom 95% pay? And the bottom 95%, amazingly, pays a record low of 34.4% of the taxes. Wow. So let's think about this for a minute. If you look at taxes, what they're telling us is that the top 1% pays almost half of the total. The bottom 95% pays 34%. So actually, if you add up those two numbers, you can find out what the next 4%, in other words, there's a missing group here, the top 5%, excluding the top one. And they pay a decent amount as well. So the remarkable thing here is that we've been hearing nonstop rhetoric, the rich don't pay their fair share. Wow, the rich seem to be paying a large portion of the entire take. If you look at the pie, the top 1% is providing almost half the pie.
Does that shock you? Anybody?
I think I've heard that before. So it's sobering every time I hear it, though. Like, I think the issue that people don't realize is that all of these policies have ramifications. They have second and third order ramifications when it comes to the economy. So if you tax somebody, they have a whole slew of options. They can do nothing. They can continue to provide the tax benefit that they've been giving to the country. They could choose to move and pay taxes to another country or another state because they're tired of paying a high tax rate, which you've seen for a lot of exodus out of states like, you know, California, for example, with high state income tax. And then another option is they could just stop producing. You know, there's some sort of equilibrium point math that they can do, and they pay accountants to do it. They pay tax experts to do it to say, you are going to pay the same amount of taxes if you just work a little bit less than if you were to produce and jump into the next tax bracket. I think going off of like that analysis, that there is a certain point where the juice isn't worth the squeeze, so to speak, anymore.
Yeah.
I'd rather not produce because I'm not going to get any benefit from the work I'm doing. Anytime you're disincentivizing someone to work and produce, that is bad for the country on a whole. And if you have this flat tax bracket, this flat tax rather, where everyone pays the same percentage, people are never disincentivized. The more they work, the more they produce, the more they make.
Absolutely. But the fact that 1% of the income earners are paying 45% of the total tax revenue. Wrap your head around that a little bit. 1%, the top 1% of the income earners are paying 45% of all of our total tax revenue. Do you think that top 1% is getting anywhere close to 45% of the government benefits that they're paying for?
No. I think they're providing...
Because what do those government benefits go to? National security, for sure.
Sure.
Right?
Social security.
And they're getting the benefit of that. But Social Security, right?
Medicaid.
Medicaid is a huge portion of that. They're not getting anything from Medicaid. And yet they're paying a large amount into that. So anytime someone says the rich should pay their fair share, it's like, listen, they're already paying 45% of everybody's share. So how much is their fair share? And then you get up to the top five income earners, top 5%, and they're paying 65% of all tax revenue. Once you get below about 30%, they're not paying anything, essentially. They're not actually contributing. They're a net zero as far as what is actually being contributed and the resources that they're using. That, to me, is how much do you have to be clueless about how the tax dollars are being collected and spent to understand that the tax system is penalizing success?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a big portion of that is we're penalizing success, and whenever we do that, I'll say this. I think the government has more of a spending problem, for example, than a tax problem, because that's the idea, is we need the rich to pay more because we have all of these programs we want to pay for.
Right.
And if we give them a flat tax, we can't afford to do all this Medicaid stuff we've been doing. But so I think if we can cut spending, the taxes don't need to be as high, and that produces more producers in the economy, and then everybody's, you know, share goes up. Like John Stossel at the end of that first clip pointed out a myth that says when the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. Like that is an antiquated economy idea of,
yeah.
It's called mercantilism is the term for it, meaning there's a fixed amount of pie, and if I take more percent, you have to take less. And that doesn't account for the ability to create economic growth, and that we can actually make the pie bigger.
Yeah. If you still have that antiquated conception of how the economy works, think about this. Is the United States in general more wealthy than it was 200 years ago? Is there more money flowing through the economy? Is there more wealth in individual households than there was 200 years ago? And if there is, then we actually have increased the size of the pie. And who helps increase the size of the pie? Innovators, people that create inventions, the Edisons out there, the Elon Musks out there, even the Jeff Bezos out there. And I say even because, you know, he's staunchly Democrat and he's progressive and he wants to have this social justice where everything is given away and we're all on an equal playing field regardless of how much we contribute to society, yet he's not giving away all of his money. Mm-hmm. The Taylor Swift's out there, right? Taylor Swift generates income because she creates art in the form of music that people like Adam like to listen to. And It's not taking away from society. That just – that art would not have existed. And if people didn't want to go listen to it, those revenues would not have existed. And if people just sat on their couches as opposed to going out and creating better farm equipment and producing farm or crops more efficiently, then those crops wouldn't exist. So there is no zero sum. If I've got a bushel of apples, just to break it down really simplistically, right, and you've got a dozen chickens, we could say, listen, how about I give you a couple of apples, okay? We'll both plant and we'll make some orchards. And you give me a couple of eggs, and I'll let them hatch, and I'll have some chickens. And in a year, I'll have 12 chickens, and you'll have an apple tree that'll produce apples indefinitely, and I'll have some chickens that'll produce eggs indefinitely. Or what we could do is you just eat your eggs, and I'll eat my apples, right? And that's it. That's that fixed pie. So the difference is, do we want to incentivize people to barter one with another and be productive and create increase? Or do we want to penalize them the more that they are productive and innovative, because we're going to insist that they pay a higher tax, and that one that the 1% that's paying 45% of all of the tax revenue is not enough? We've got to take a break. This is Life, Death, and Law. We'll be back.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
If there's one thing our community needs now, it's hope. The God Loves You Frontera Tour is bringing hope to Yuma, featuring music from Marcos Witt, and Taya. Plus, a message from Franklin Graham.
Remember this, God loves you.
The God Loves You Frontera Tour, coming to the Yuma County Fairgrounds, Thursday, March 7th at 6:30. Details at GodLovesYouTour.com. GodLovesYouTour.com.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
This is Joan, enjoying some me time up on the rim. This is Simon and his friends paddling the Salt River.
And this is Brad. Brad is... well, no one knows where Brad is.
What they all have in common is that they went to azmbdnow.gov to quickly and easily renew their registration or 30 other services. So go to azmbdnow.gov and get more time to enjoy
all the things you love.
Sponsored by ADOT in partnership with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Do you know about 211 Arizona? It's a free service to connect you with resources anywhere in Arizona. Housing assistance and eviction prevention, transportation and ride services, healthcare benefits, food resources, and even utility bill support. Talk to a live operator in English or Spanish 24 hours a day, every day of the year. Just dial 211 or visit 211arizona.org. Get connected, get answers, and get the help you need. This message is sponsored by 211 Arizona.
The next disaster is coming.
The time to get ready is now. Make a plan. Identify meetup locations and people you'll need to contact, and keep your contact list somewhere safe. Build a kit with enough food and water for 3 days. And don't forget your pets. Keep 7 days of medication on hand. Work with your pharmacist and insurance company to get the extra doses. Make copies of important documents and keep them on your phone, in the cloud, or on a USB stick. Stay informed. Note area hazards. Take courses in CPR and first aid. And sign up for local alerts. Be ready. Learn more at americares.org/sendusin.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. We're talking about taxes because that's a fun thing to talk about, and we're approaching tax season. So, Cody, what's your take on this?
I was thinking about what Tom was just saying in regards to we have a spending problem. You know, it's not so much – yes, there is the imbalanced tax problem, but – we have a spending problem. We've taken and we spend way too much. And look at what Argentina has done. You know, for decades they have been in the negative and crazy inflation. Anyways, this past month they are finally in a surplus. They have like a $500 million surplus. Point being is it wasn't taxes that did it. It was radically cutting spending. And they've been criticized for this, but...
And this is only a few months.
Yeah.
I mean, and it takes years for policies really to bear their fruits and to determine whether or not there is a success. But Javier Milei, he's a great guy. People call him, you know, the Trump of Argentina. And he's a very smart guy. He went to the World Economic Forum. And, of course, he was invited there. And then he just told everybody there that this is in Davos. And it's all the elites going there saying why we need to have basically one world power, and everybody is going to be using the same currency, and it's going to be digital currency, and we're going to be tracked on what we spend, and everybody's going to be taxed at this world rate. And he just said, you guys, everybody sitting here and that invited me here, you're the problem. I didn't come into the government and get elected to lead sheep. I came to wake up lions. The people are the ones that drive the economy, not you guys that flew in on your private jets and then preached to us from your ivory towers. That's not what does it. You guys are the problem. And he just fed it to them. If you haven't watched that interview, it's amazing. So back to your point, he's already seen success in gaining a surplus in the government coffers because he's cut government programs. Even without talking about government programs, let's say that they all continue to exist at status quo. If you tax people at a fairer rate, and fair is each person gets taxed at the same rate, and if they make $10, they pay $1. And if they make $100, they pay $10. And this, of course, is the 10% tax rate. That I'm only bringing that up because the math is easy. It could be any. It could be 15%. It could be 5%. But if everybody paid the same rate, then I continue to earn, and I get back the exact same percentage from the millionth dollar that I earned that I did from the first dollar that I earned. And we all enjoy the same streets, even though I made a lot more contributions to society than, say, somebody that's just out of high school and learning the ropes. And I think that's fair because I want to build the streets that that person drives on because that person is going to be helping me out and continuing this country free for the next generation.
That's the common argument, not argument, but that's the point of view of a typical accountant. I've had these conversations with accountants a lot, like, and they'll often bring up, well, don't you like your streets to be paved and maintained? Don't you like this, that, and the other that that you use on a daily basis? And I say, yeah, that's fine, but I don't need to pay that much tax to get that stuff done. And I take issue with that idea. But the idea would be, my government doesn't need my money save for my national defense. That's my argument. I don't need to give all my money to the government and hope that they give a little bit back when it comes to tax time through deductions and stuff like that. I would rather be more in control of my money than giving it to a government that spends it on whatever they think is in the best interest of the nation as a whole, which has come to bite us all in the backside. On my way home from San Diego last week, I was driving with my family, and off to the side of the road, there was a large large, like a tour bus, and with Border Patrol agents all around, you know, and this huge group. I mean, it had to be over 100 people just sitting on the ground there. So they obviously caught a ton of immigrants crossing the border, and they were just all kind of huddled up there and herded into this group, getting ready to be put onto this bus that you and I paid for. And it's not like the government goes out and says, hey, all you bus companies in the United States, what's the cheapest one? It's not. They don't do that. They usually just take a contract and continue that contract over the course of many years, and it's not a good contract. It's typically super expensive. It costs a lot more money than it needs to cost because they're not going out to the private sector and asking all these people, all these private bus companies,
who can provide the best service at the least cost.
Exactly right. So it's like, you want me to give you my money and then trust that you're going to use it for my benefit or at least in my best interest or have my best interest in mind? I highly doubt that.
Well, and we've seen that firsthand with NASA, right? We've seen one man put together a space program that is 100 times, and I'm being generous with these figures, 100 times cheaper and more efficient than NASA because he's private. He is accountable to his investors as to how that money is spent and whether there's success. He doesn't have limitless spending. And NASA, you know, it was a sad day when we saw that last shuttle being towed into the museum because it was a program that became so expensive that we couldn't afford it anymore and justify the limited success that it was providing. That's not to say that President Kennedy was wrong in saying we need to get to the moon by the end of this decade when there was this Cold War raging against the Soviet Union and this was a point of national pride. I think that at some point the government gets involved and helps protect us against other political ideologies corrupting what our ideology is and what has kept us such a great success, and that is capitalism. And President Kennedy wanted to show that capitalism was going to provide a successful space program. And I think that's the end of that argument right there for Kennedy. But once that was accomplished, Elon Musk came along and got done what NASA could not accomplish and what entire countries could not accomplish. And he's done this time and time again. We've got these pump companies out there that are getting funding for EVs, you know, the electric vehicles. And Tesla is outperforming them. And, you know, Joe Biden doesn't like Elon Musk because he doesn't bend the knee to the machine. And Tesla still is outperforming all of those other companies, and it's because it's privately run.
Tom, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that nobody will treat your money and your property as responsibly as you. And the owner of the object is going to treat it the best. And I saw that growing up, like things like cars that I was able to drive that were on my parents. I didn't change the oil promptly. I didn't leave it with the full tank of gas. I didn't really care if maybe I bumped the trash can with the bumper. But as soon as it became my car and I purchased it from my parents or I purchased it from a dealership or whatever the case may be in anybody's life, ownership creates accountability. And it creates, you know, a sense of pride, and that's what takes care of the economy at the end of the day.
And
even your moped?
Even the moped.
Even your moped in Spokane?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the best taken care of moped in the state.
I thought you were joking about that.
No, I'm serious. No.
No, so the further removed you are from the ownership of the property, the more true that is. For example, you lived in Marine Corps barracks, and now you live in your own home.
Correct.
Okay. What was your mentality? And now you're a responsible citizen, right? You fight for our country and defend our rights. So that's really what the government was established to do. You're doing that object. But when you were living in the government housing or housing provided by the Marine Corps, how did you respect that in relation to your home personally?
Much less accountability. Like, the carpets aren't mine, so I don't care if they're shampooed. Like, you know, every few months. I don't care if I'm not going to damage anything, but the reason I don't damage it is because I'm afraid of getting in trouble, not because I really care about the walls, for example. And I think that can be applied universally. Like, imagine a situation where people have to pay their taxes in cash, and they have to take it down to the tax man and hand it over to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there would be outrage if people got paid on a Friday morning and had to take the cash to the tax man on Friday afternoon. There's no way taxes would be this high, because the further away you get away from the hand that feeds, entitlement goes up.
Absolutely.
Another good example of government waste is, especially here in Yuma, we see when WTI comes to town, there's a massive influx of traffic, specifically military vehicles, and we hear a lot more of the helicopter chatter and the airplanes flying overhead. And they typically perform these exercises out on the bombing range over here past Telegraph, the south side of I-8. When they do that, they build mini cities, and they're housing all these Marines, and they use all sorts of Navy, Marines, a lot of different armed forces come, and they're doing all these training exercises for what, Tom, maybe 2-3 weeks?
A little bit longer. It's like 2 months.
2 months, yeah. What do they do with the food that they shipped in there?
Well, they eat it, and then whatever they don't eat, it probably goes
to the dumpster.
The trash. Yeah,
yeah. Uh-huh. And we're talking tons, mm-hmm. literally tons of food that they don't eat into the dumpsters, massive dumpsters, multiple dumpsters, instead of going to like the food bank, mm-hmm. or maybe giving back to other people that don't have that food, they just chuck it in the dumpsters, and they have orders to do that. That's like throwing away our money. That was what we gave to the government to then pay for that food, to pay for our armed forces to eat while training. And that's all appropriate. But it's the idea of, it's not your money, and I can do whatever I want with it. You know, yeah. I don't care.
Well, and I bought a trailer recently that was produced for military use. And somebody that I know goes to those auctions, those military auctions, and when they do sell the items, instead of just throw them in the dump, and a lot of times they do, a lot of times they make the equipment unusable. I've seen where they've taken plasma cutters. Those are cutters that can cut right through metal and perfectly good machinery. They've cut through the most important component so it couldn't be used again, and then thrown it away. So it couldn't be reused, and I don't get that. But in this case, this particular item, it was a trailer, and it was sold at government auction, and then I was offered by the person that bought it to buy it, and I did. And it's a pretty well-made trailer. It's an aluminum trailer, and so I purchased it for $2,500. And when I looked at it, it's got all these tags all over the place. It's got the most beefed up hardware on it that I've ever seen on a trailer. I mean, the tires are just intense. It's got these bolts that are massive. And I really love the trailer, but I paid $2,500 for it. I looked, there was a sticker price on it. It was $23,000.
Oh my gosh.
That the military paid for it. I guarantee that the person that I bought it from, that bought it at auction, made a good profit on it. And I've got no problem with that, because he's just doing what capitalism is, buying something at a reasonable rate and giving it back to somebody else that wants to use it or selling it for a profit. But I bet you the government got paid hundreds of dollars back for that trailer that they paid $23,000. And they got no problem doing that. And when the people that are using it are taking it through, they're not taking care of the trailer the same way you and I would. I mean, I've taken that trailer now, and I've, you know, put new tires on it, and I put new paint on it, and I put new wiring on it, and I treat it really nice. I don't lend it out, because this is a nice trailer that I like. But that is very different than the life that it saw before I took it.
I was going to ask to borrow it, but I guess I won't now.
Yeah, don't even think about it.
Yeah, and the amount of times that I've heard in, you know, working for government entities, come the end of fiscal year, spend all your budget, because if you don't spend it, you're not going to get allotted the same number next year. And so the idea is just spend it on whatever, because if you don't use it, people are going to know that you don't need it. And like, that is fundamentally, I think, a backwards way to look at, you know, financial responsibility.
If you want to learn more about how you can protect your hard-earned money, especially for your children and your heirs, come to our seminar. It's on March 8th at 2:30 p.m. It's at the Foothills Library, and we are going to be talking about how to set up an estate plan. We're going to talk about how to identify your assets, what the process is to make it simple, to make sure all of your assets are accounted for, and how to make a plan where your successors, whether it's a child or a friend or a professional, can account for each of those assets and pass them along as you set forth in your directions without any probate or government intervention.
That's all the time we have. We've got next week coming up, so tune in next week, next Monday. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hanson at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Hey, it's Bobby from Bobby Combs RV Centers. I want you to know that we already did the shopping for you. We are stocking the best floor plans from the biggest manufacturers like Forest River, Keystone, and Coachmen. I also want you to know that at Bobby Combs RV Centers, you get a low price without the hassle. We are a full-service RV dealership. Sales, parts, service, and financing. Come get your new or used RV at a low price from the super-friendly staff at Bobby Combs RV Centers in Yuma and at BobbyCombsRVCenter.com.
In tough times, it can be difficult to know where to turn. If you or someone you know is looking for help, the Yuma Community Food Bank is here if you need a hand. We provide food and other resources to families, seniors, and individuals in need. We are open Monday through Friday. All you need to receive a food box is a photo ID with your current address. Visit our website at yumafoodbank.org for more information. The Yuma Community Food Bank also accepts donations in the form of non-perishable food, monetary donations, and volunteer help. You can choose to donate or advocate. You can choose to volunteer or raise awareness. You can choose to help end hunger. Call us anytime, 928-343-1243. Visit our main campus, located at 2404 East 24th Street, or use our food locator map online at yumafoodbank.org.
For 248 years, proud patriots have defended our freedom as American soldiers. One of the best ways to honor their service is through the Army Historical Foundation's Registry of the American Soldier. Open to all Army veterans, this free registry allows veterans or a loved one on their behalf to create a permanent public record of their service. No soldier's story should be forgotten. Learn more at armyhistory.org. That's armyhistory.org. Sponsored by Army Historical Foundation, Inc.
I always tell people I was the luckiest guy in the world. I wanted to be an Army man or a fireman, and I got to do both. As a firefighter, my job was about saving lives. I never thought one day I would be fighting for mine.
After spending his career answering the call to save others, Ken was diagnosed with ALS. Now he's facing his biggest battle for more time. For 70 years, Muscular Dystrophy Association has been answering the call to help people live longer and more independent lives.
MDA means to me hope.
MDA is leading the way for people living with ALS, muscular dystrophy, and other neuromuscular diseases by accelerating research, advancing care, and advocating to empower families like Ken's.
I wouldn't be living as good of a life with ALS if it wasn't for MDA. MDA is helping people live stronger and love longer. Learn more at MDA.org today.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBOU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.